Before I go into worship, the sermon, I want to pray as a congregation. And Hubert, can you just play some background music as we pray? Just a few things. Last week, Theo's mom and Stephanie's mother-in-law passed away Thursday morning. You know, so we mourn with Theo and Stephanie and their family for the lost, and at the same time we celebrate her life. Church, if you could just lift up the whole family right now, lift up the whole family. You know, I heard that Theo's mom faithfully served the church as a minister. She impacted lives. You know, she saved souls. She discipled people. Thank the Lord for salvation, for eternal life. And she's at a place where there's no more pain, no more sorrow, no more brokenness. She's face to face with Jesus. So, but you know, we're still here on earth. So really lift up the family, lift up the whole family to the Lord. For comfort, for grieving, for healing, for encouragement, for oneness over the whole family. You know, in this broken world, we have to face death. You know, and this was a conviction that the Lord gave me months ago. You know, and as a church, we also need to, you know how to prepare for death. But at the same time, you know, there's birth, and you know, in the same week, we're facing the death of a loved one, but there's also a birth. You know, Sam and Minji Choi. A baby boy, Enoch, was born Saturday afternoon. So we mourn, you know, when there's death, but we also celebrate a new life. Well, please pray for Sam and Minji, Choi, and their newborn baby, boy Enoch. Lift up the people who are sick, you know, thank God those who are sick, they have recovered. But I heard also Michael, you know, Michael's sick. If you could pray for Michael. You know, Jiang's family, the whole family, there will be protection, there will be healing. And if you could just lift up anybody else that you know that are sick. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord. This is the ministry of Jesus. Healing is the ministry of Jesus. The ministry of Jesus will be released over our church. Thank you, God. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. You know, before we start, I start the sermon. One of the reasons we're doing Zoom is so that we could see each other, and for me too. You know, when I preach, I don't want to preach to a camera, you know, in an empty room, but I want to be able to see you guys. You know, one of the beauty of Catalyst Church is that this is a community. You know, it's one of the core value is a community. It's not a video production. Okay, it's not a video production. I mean, we could have, you know, all the worship team come and we could record the video and put it on Facebook Live, where you could just come and see the video of the worship. But one of the core value is that, you know, it's this community that we have, the relationship that we have, and, you know, and and Zoom, you know, we're able to see each other. And so what you could, if you could just put it on gallery, you know, if you could put it on gallery, and you, if you could unmute you know, the media team, unmute everybody, and you know, put it on gallery, and then
Hi.
Just say hi to everybody.
Hi.
Putting on the video. It's okay if you're embarrassed. You can show yourself to say hi to everybody. I'm going to the sermon. That's the sermon title is God Restores, and it's from the book of Nehemiah. And in the book of Nehemiah, God calls his people to rebuild the city wall. And the city wall was torn down, you know, in Jerusalem when the people of God turned away from the Lord. And in my opinion, in the book of Nehemiah, the rebuilding the city wall was a symbol of restoration. You know, God was saying to his people, I'm going to restore you. I'm going to restore you as a nation. You know, there's going to be a restoration of identity. There's going to be restoration of calling. And I believe, this is what I believe, this is what the Lord is doing in our church and in our nation, even during this crisis. You know, I have asked you as a church to believe in revival, you know, to believe in revival. And another word for revival is that the Lord will restore this land. That's revival. That the Lord will restore this land. As God's people built the city wall, you know, there were oppositions. There was a lot of opposition in the book of Nehemiah. There was so much opposition that the Bible says his people, while they were building the wall, it says this, the strength of the laborers giving out. And there's so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall, you know. In the beginning, they were looking at, you know, as they started to build a wall, they were looking at, you know, what they were building. But once they got very tired, they just saw the rubble, you know, they saw the rubble and they said, we cannot rebuild the wall. And in the book of Nehemiah, there was, you know, opposition in the beginning of the work of the wall, and it didn't stop. It didn't stop them in the beginning. The Bible says they built the wall with all their hearts. But there was this continual ridicule, continual mocking, continual attack. And eventually the people were discouraged, they were tired, and they felt hopeless. And in the beginning of this crisis, you know, you and I were challenged. We, you know, as a church, we were determined. And even though it was difficult, we were hopeful in the beginning. But it's not easy when you're being hit with spiritual arrows of opposition day after day after day. And in chapter 4, the Bible says, you know, the Bible gives this voice to the arrows of opposition, right? In Nehemiah chapter 4. The opposition, this is what the voice, what they were saying to the people of God. What are those feeble Jews doing? Would they restore their wall? Would they offer sacrifices? Would they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from the heaps of rubble burned as they are? What they are building, even a fox climbing up on it, would break their wall of stones. Now, during this time, the arrows that is hitting you also has a voice. The arrows that's hitting you day after day also has a voice. And it's the voice is, you can't do it. You are a failure. Nobody cares about you. You are all alone. You make too many mistakes. You tried before and you have consistently failed. God doesn't care about you. There is no hope. And when the arrows hit you day after day after day, it takes a toll on you and me. It shakes us. And it shakes. When it gets shaken, it shakes the old issues, comes to the surface. Our father issue, our mother issue, authority issue will get triggered. Old memories of rejection, shame, and failure will come to the surface. And when you get shaken, the very things that you fear, you will be confronted with it. Yeah. In the beginning of the crisis, you know, you and I were determined, but the arrow of fear has been hitting you again and again and again, and it does get tiring, and we do become discouraged. That fear starts to shake you. So what do we do? Right? What do we do? Yeah. And you know, this is the conviction I got at the upper room, you know. And I want to challenge the church. You know, this is a time where we really need to pray as a church. You know, please join us on Upper Room Wednesday at 7:30 on Zoom, you know, to pray. During the Upper Room, you know, God convicted me of the book of Nehemiah. And the answer I got in chapter 4, verse 14. This is what Nehemiah said to the people of God to encourage them. He said, after I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your families, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your home. And in this passage, Nehemiah proclaimed, right, three things to the people of God. And this is what I want to proclaim to Catalyst at this time. You know, three things. Number one, Nehemiah says, don't be afraid of them. Right? Don't be afraid of them. See, when you are afraid of something, you give what you fear power over your life. Right? That's what fear does. Fear controls your life. Fear, when you are afraid of something, it gives fear power over your life. You know, I don't know if you know this, but I'm sure this before, when I was young, when I was in high school, I took martial arts and I got a black belt in martial arts. You know, I can't do anything I used to do in high school, but I did get a, you know, it took years, but I got a black belt in martial arts. And I remember one time there's a black belt, you know, from another school that came to my school, and he wanted to spar me. And at that time, I wasn't a black belt, and I was afraid. Just being honest, I was scared, and he beat me up during that spar. I got beat up. The next day, we were, you know, training again together, and the same guy was there, that black belt, and I asked him, "Can we spar again?" But this time, I was not afraid. I wasn't afraid. And guess what happened? I beat him up. Well, you know, I won. I won. And when I look at my childhood, you know, I used to get into fights. I lived in a kind of a rough neighborhood. You know, at school, used to get into fight at park, get into fight. And what I realized is when I was in a battle, not, you know, that fighting, that fight, anytime I got overwhelmed with fear, I would get beat up. But when I was not afraid, I won those fights. I won those fights. And so this is what I want to challenge church. Catalyst, don't be afraid, right? And I want you to speak this out. Speak this out. I am not afraid, right? Say this out. Speak it out. I am not afraid. Right? you know, what does it mean when you speak out, I'm not afraid, okay? Spiritually and as a Christian, you know, not as a martial artist, you know, but as a Christian, this means that you choose to not listen to the fiery arrows that's being shot at you day after day, right? When you're saying, I'm not going to be afraid of them, you're not going to, you know, instead of receiving it, you're going to block it. You're not going to listen to the lies. You're not going to dwell on it anymore. You're not going to try to analyze it, evaluate it, study it. You're not going to give time to what you fear. Right? You're not going to give it time. We let the arrows, fear arrows, those fiery arrows the Bible talks about, those darts hit us. And what we do, we let it go deeper than it should. And when it gets too deep, this is when, you know, what happens. Okay, during this time, if you are getting drunk, okay, you know, when you are just watching porn, I mean, when you are watching hours and hours of TV, right? When there's no control with food, you know, you're shopping online more than usual, right? That means that those fiery arrows has gotten deeper and deeper and deeper, right? And if this is where you are, it's because those fiery arrows is going deeper in you. But those things, you know this, church, you know this, those things are not the solution. It does not help us. It doesn't heal us. It just makes it worse. The solution is not to make the arrow, you know, go deeper and look at other things that will numb us. You gotta say, I'm gonna stop being afraid. Means you're going to take the arrow out of you. You're not going to allow the arrow to touch you anymore. Not being afraid means, in another word, is being brave. You are going to the change. It takes a lot of courage, right? When you're going one direction in your life and then the Lord convicts you to change and to transition, it takes tremendous courage. And this is what the Lord is asking you to do, right? Change the course. You are going to make a choice. Stop listening to those lies, but you're going to give power. You're going to stop giving power to those lies. You know, I got two more points in this sermon, but I want us as a church right now, Hubert, if you could kind of just, again, play some background music. And this is what we're going to do during this ministry time. Okay? We're going to be brave. Okay? We're not going to be afraid anymore. We're not gonna give that power to those arrows. It's been hitting you again and again and again, right? And you speak to, you know, block those arrows right now. Block it, spiritually block it. No more. You know those arrows. It has this, those darts have your name, right? You know it. You're saying right now, I'm not gonna be afraid of them. I'm gonna stand up to them. I'm going to put up the shield of faith. I'm going to block it. So Holy Spirit, I pray you will renew your church right now. Renew your church, Lord. The Holy Spirit wants to encourage you. He's not just going to tell you what to do. He needs to strengthen you. He needs to encourage you. Spirit of the living God, encourage your people right now. Encourage them. Give them hope, Lord. Renew their mind. Renew their emotion. Lord, not by might, but by your power, says the Lord. Give them the ability to resist right now. Resist, Lord. To fight. To make a choice. The right choice. Spirit of the sovereign Lord, fall upon your people. Amen. Amen. I'm going to go into the second point. And again, this first point is do not be afraid of them. And Nehemiah said to the people of God, the next sentence is, remember the Lord who is great and awesome. Church, I'm going to say that again. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. Now, you know, this is a hard saying, but I say this in love. Many receive Jesus as their Savior, but have not submitted to him as the Lord. And Nehemiah saying, okay, that's not right. You got to remember the Lord who is great and awesome. He's talking about lordship of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, you know, Judas was a disciple of Jesus, and he came under demonic attack, you know. But when we read the gospel, Judas called Jesus a teacher, but never called him Jesus, called Jesus the Lord. We can see Jesus as a good teacher. That's the truth. We can see Jesus as a friend. That's the truth. But when it comes to spiritual battle, the devil doesn't care about that. The devil responds to authority. If you're not under the authority of Jesus, you cannot walk in the authority of Jesus. You know, James chapter 4, verse 7 says this, you know, and many sermons focus on this. It says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Right? And you know, that was, I believe, point number one, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Meaning, do not be afraid of them. Okay. Stand up to it. Okay. Put up the armor. Stand up to it. Resist the devil. But a lot of sermons don't focus on the sentence before in James chapter 4, verse 7. Remember, you know, it says, submit yourself then to God. And then resist the devil and he will flee from you. Submit yourself to God. And then resist the devil and he will flee from you. What the second point, when it in the James 4 says, submit yourself to, you know, to God, it means remember the Lord who is great and awesome. This is lordship, church. What is lordship? Jesus is not a vending machine. Jesus is not just a good teacher. He's not just a good friend. Lordship means Jesus is king. Jesus is king in my heart and in my life. Jesus has every right over your whole life. He has every right because who he is. Jesus is the Son of God. He's God Almighty. He is your creator. And because of what he did, you know, he lived a sinless life in a sinful world. He paid the penalty for our sin. And he died and rose again from the dead. Jesus Christ is Lord. He has authority over my life. He has authority over your life. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Huh? Let's submit ourselves to Jesus. Another word, remember the Lord who is great and awesome. Hubert, if you could just play some background music. And this is not something that I could do for you. You know, this is something that you have to remember. That's what Nehemiah said. Remember. Don't forget this. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. Right? And each one of you from your heart need to release that truth. Need to proclaim that truth. You need to remember the Lord who is great and awesome. He is greater than any disease, any sickness. He is greater than death. He is greater than any human wisdom. He is greater than any individual, any person. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. He is my King. He is my Lord. As a church, let's proclaim Jesus Christ. Yes, he's my Savior. And he is my Lord. And we proclaim there are things that's happening that doesn't make sense. Yes, there are things that I'm going to do that seems unfair. But I want to challenge you. Still proclaim, Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. And I will follow him. You know, you invest in things that, you know, that things don't, when things don't make sense, stocks, you know, we're stocks. It doesn't make sense the whole time. Nobody truly understands it. You drive a car, you know, you don't understand how the engine works. You use the computer, you don't understand how that works. But we put our faith in it. More than anything else, as a church, we're proclaiming, we're going to put our faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Some of you are in deep, deep pain. You know, I just feel this pain. And feeling even lost. And I say this in a loving way. Even if it's with your pinky, you know, anything that you have inside you, where you are, even in your weakness, you need to speak out. Jesus is my Lord. He's my Creator. And I choose to remember him. I will remember him. You know, Joel says, though you slay me, I will praise you. In the midst of your loss, instead of that loss overwhelming you, you're going to say, I'm going to remember Jesus, what he did for me thousands of years ago. He gave me life. He forgave. There's grace. Jesus, you're my Lord. Amen. Amen. First point, again, don't be afraid of them. And remember the Lord who is great and awesome. And the third thing that Nehemiah said in that passage, in that verse, is fight for your family, your sons, and your daughters, your wives, and your home. Yeah. Again, first point, don't be afraid, you know, meaning don't give the devil power through fear. You know, make a choice not to listen to the lies. Resist the devil. That's the first point. And the second point is Jesus is not just a good teacher in my life. Jesus is the Lord, the King over my life. And then the third point, what I believe he's talking about is don't think about yourself. Think of others. It is about love. Okay? It's about love. Why? Because there's power in love. You know, Jesus could have defeated the devil, all the spiritual attack with his authority. The night that he was crucified, this is what he said in the Bible. Jesus said he could have called legions of angels to deliver him. He could have used his authority, but Jesus didn't. Instead, he went to the cross. Why? Because he loves you and me. A simple answer. Because he loved you and me. You know, love ultimately wins. Even though, you know, it didn't seem like it had any power. It seemed like there was no hope. Love ultimately wins. You know, after my biological father passed away, you know, the devil, I was under a tremendous spiritual attack. The devil stirred in me all the rejection, all the abandonment, the neglect, the orphan spirit. You know, what got me out of it is when my, again, I shared this before. I still remember in the hospital when Anna was born. And the nurse gave Anna to me for me to hold. Seeing Anna in my arm gave me strength to fight the spiritual battle, to overcome my father issue. But that love has power. When you're able to think about others, it has power. In all the years that I've been in ministry and been doing ministry, I noticed something. I really see it. It's very clear to me now. Selfish people don't get delivered. I want to say this again. Selfish people do not get delivered. No matter how much you give to them, no matter how much you pray for them, how much you counsel them, selfish people stay in bondage. They stay in bondage. This is the reason, you know, why the devil comes to split relationship, you know, because when he splits relationship, he makes sure instead of love, there's bitterness, right? And when there's bitterness, when there's division, when there's resentment, when there's unforgiveness, the devil has power over that relationship. You know, so that the devil will have power over the relationship, so that the devil will have power over people's heart. That's why in the book of Ephesians, again, if you read through the whole book, the Bible, the book of Ephesians talks about relationship, loving each other in the church. And then husband and wife loving each other. And then parent and children loving each other. And specifically in the book of Ephesians, it says, our battle is not with flesh and blood. reminds us, our battle is not with flesh and blood, but against the power of this dark world, against the spiritual force of evil in the heavenly realm. What it's saying is that, you know, when you're under spiritual attack, okay, you got to fight the right battle. It's not with each other. Don't spend your energy fighting one another, because when you do that, you will give the devil power over your life. Okay? We need to focus our energy in fighting the good fight, the right fight, and that is against the power of this dark world, against the force, spiritual force of evil in the heavenly realm. And so we're going to do in the ministry, again, Hubert, if you could just help us to go into ministry. But after that, we're going to worship. Okay? We're going to go worship together. If you could come before the Lord and ask for forgiveness for any resentment, any bitterness, any judgment that we have held in our heart for the people around us. But not just forgive. If you could make a choice. I'm not gonna fight the wrong battles anymore. My battle is not flesh and blood. But starting today, this week, my battle is against the power of this dark world, against the spiritual force of evil in the heavenly realm. It just says, I will not be afraid of the devil's arrows and attack, but I'm going to resist him. I'm going to fight the right battle by keeping my eyes on Jesus, not just my friend, but he will be my Lord tomorrow, today, every day. I know in difficult times it's so easy to be selfish, but I refuse to be selfish. I'm gonna fight for my children. I'm gonna fight for my spouse. I'm gonna fight for my child. I'm gonna fight for my church. I'm not gonna stay in this hole, this dark hole by myself. I'm gonna get out of that hole. Yes, I'm not going to let somebody else's selfishness, somebody else's anger, somebody else's bitterness become my own. I refuse to receive those things. And again, the way you release it is just forgive. Release forgiveness and receive forgiveness. Spirit, Holy Spirit, wash over your church. Come into the rooms where we are, the room that we are in. And release a ministry of renewal upon your church right now. This week, you are hopeless. Let the Holy Spirit wash away that hopelessness from you right now. Wash away, Holy Spirit, the discouragement. There's somebody here, the Holy Spirit wants to speak these words of life in your heart. Rise up, my daughter. Rise up, my daughter. When I see you rising up under this dark cloud, but you're going higher and higher, and you're breaking through the cloud. Above that stormy dark cloud into the light of God. You'll rise up under the lost, the discouragement, the dark cloud.